Lots of recent data suggests the U.S. economy is coming out of the recession that officially began a year ago. It appears to have been the mildest recession in history, not even meeting the thumbnail definition, that is, two consecutive quarters of shrinkage in the economy. In fact, some economists argue the recent slowdown was not really a full-fledged recession.
Certain parts of the economy were in a recession, but not all of it.
Raj Agarwal is a professor of finance at Kent State University in Ohio.
In recent years, I think, we have moved to an economy of rotating sectors. In other words, a certain sector of the economy suffers quite a bit for a short period of time. That part recovers, then another sector goes down maybe, instead of all of them going down together.
So if there wasn't really a recession, why did the economists at the National Bureau of Economic Research, who officially call a recession, decide that one started back in March of 2001? One reason, says Agarwal, is that the NBER model looks very closely at how manufacturing is doing. And for the past year and a half, manufacturing has not been doing well. In fact, it's been in a severe recession. Just ask Don Wainwright, chairman of the National Association of Manufacturers. His company, Wainwright Industries, based near St. Louis, makes parts for the auto and aerospace industries.
I would say it's been pretty severe. Utilization in manufacturing is about at 72.8%. In other words, if you could make 100 refrigerators, you're only making about 72.8 refrigerators right now.
Agarwal doesn't dispute that manufacturing has been hurting. But these days, he says, a slump at the nation's factories is less likely to drag the whole economy into recession because fewer people work in manufacturing.
Manufacturing is going kind of the route that agriculture went, in the sense that at the turn of the century, over 50% of Americans used to work in agriculture. Now maybe 2% work in agriculture, yet the output for agriculture is more than what it used to be at the turn of the century. And so manufacturing is undergoing the same sort of process where the number of people working in manufacturing continues to decline, but the output is really not any smaller. In fact, it's getting larger.
Recessions are rarer and milder for a couple of other reasons, says Agarwal. Computers help firms keep track of their inventories. That means if consumers cut their spending, it's less likely that big piles of unsold products will force factories to cut production dramatically and lay off workers. The other force that minimizes recession, says Agarwal, is globalization. Firms have customers all over the world. If demand in the U.S. falls, it doesn't necessarily mean consumers quit buying in China. Even when recessions are confined to just one or two industries, they can provide a useful, if painful, function, says Agarwal. They clean out excesses, like those we've seen in the manufacturing and the high-tech sectors recently.
Manufacturing was suffering from excess investment in capacity. We were just going bonkers, really, in terms of spending our money. We had a bubble in technology that created a lot of wealth among tech companies that went on a capital equipment spending spree, and we created a lot of excess capacity. So that excess capacity has to be worked up out of the economy, and that's what recessions are for, I think. You know,
during the past few years, Jack Perkins of Oryx Search in Mountain View, California, lived through the high-tech boom and bust. His traditional employee recruitment firm with a staff of 20 morphed into a dot-com company with a staff of 140, feeding Silicon Valley's insatiable appetite for workers. Then, late in 2000, business collapsed.
It's like we fell off a cliff. For a while there, the demand for the search business just stopped, at least for us. I mean, it froze completely.
There's no doubt in Perkins' mind, though, that the recession in high tech was necessary. It helped the industry refocus on basics, he says.
There's so many companies advertising, you know, that, you know, we've got foosball in our cafeteria and we've got a room where you can take a nap, and a lot of blue hair in these places, and dogs. That was the sign of the times in the late 90s and perhaps the first half of 2000. Now it feels pretty good. It seems like some normalcy has finally returned to the Silicon Valley, and it's back to what the Silicon Valley was all about. And Silicon Valley has always been a rather conservative place, and it's always been about technology, chips and EDA tools to design the chips and, you know, silicon.
Clearly, there were recessions in high tech and manufacturing. Professor Agarwal's argument is that those recessions never spread to the whole economy. For instance, the housing industry has stayed strong. Obviously, the broad economy slowed from its blazing growth rate of the late 1990s, but there was only 1 3-month period when the whole economy contracted. That quarter included the immediate economic aftereffects of September 11th, when air transport was grounded and consumers stayed home glued to their TVs. Does it really matter, though, whether economists label this kind of thing a national recession? Agarwal thinks it does.
I really believe that we can talk ourselves into a recession. If we think we are in a recession, a lot of us, and we quit spending money, that will indeed cause a recession. But if we think we are not in a recession, then perhaps something that could have been a recession could be avoided. So if we call it a recession, the chances are higher that we'll have a recession. So I think to the extent the everyday common man hears about and believes that it's a recession, it's not a good thing, in my opinion.
In this case, it appears, consumers voted with their pocketbooks that it wasn't really a recession. Even though consumer confidence surveys dropped, people kept buying. And ultimately, Professor Agarwal says, they kept the recent slowdown from becoming a full-fledged recession.